time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday the 8th of March 2014. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 till 12 by the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Oneroa. On Saturday the 8th of March, David Basham talked to Gary Bell from the Waiheke Health Trust, Richard Ball and Dougal Thompson from the Funny Bones Comedy Troupe, and hydroponic grower Pat King.
Okay, Waiheke Radio, and we've got Gary from the manager of the Waiheke Health Trust, a wonderful service in Ostend with the two buildings there, the doctors and all the other ones which do all the home cares and all of those things. So, good morning, Gary. Nice to have you in.
Yeah, morning, David. Thanks very much for having us on.
Right, so you've got yourself a few things we've talked about, so you're starting off to just give a little introduction about what's happening with the measles.
Yeah, well, basically, I guess a lot of people will be aware that there has been a measles outbreak in Auckland, and basically, the current situation is that there's been no cases identified on Waiheke, which is good news for us all out here. However, if people do have any questions at all around it, if they think their kids are sick, or they may be coming down with it, or they may have been in contact with somebody that has just come back in and may have been on a flight that recently came back from Brisbane, which is in the news. There's information on the web about that. The best thing to do is to call the health line on 0800 611 116. That's 0800 611 116. And there you can get all the latest information and any advice that you might need around the current situation with measles. So that's one of the things that we're watching on a daily basis. As I say, at this point in time, there's been no cases identified on Waiheke, so that's good.
If you're suspicious that your children may have it,
yep.
Do you rock up to the doctor, or do you give the people a ring to alert them think about measles?
Absolutely not. It's such a highly contagious condition, and some of the symptoms, and I'm just reading some information here. I'm not a clinician, I'd like to make very clear, but I'll just read some information here. The symptoms include high fever, cough, a runny nose, red eyes, and a rash that starts on the face and neck before spreading elsewhere. So if your kids or anybody that you know exactly, not nice, starts to show these symptoms, then the best thing to do is either ring your doctor straight away, or if you can't get a hold of your doctor for any reason, call that helpline that I gave the number out before. And that's 0800 611 116. You'll get all the information you need. But the most important thing is to keep whoever it is isolated. Do not get them into the community.
Yeah, so you don't... Yeah, so I think that was when we had something else over here. We used to have to tell them ahead of time that you
were... That's right.
And they actually saw you in the car in the car park.
And
we've got to find ways of not spreading it, because doctor surgery be a classic
place. Let's face it, the ferries, the buses, doctor surgeries, anywhere where we're all packed tightly together, as we tend to be on Waiheke from time to time, is a great place to spread anything at all. So, of course, the person will always get the help they need in the home, because, you know, we'll come to you, we'll come to the person that needs the help.
Amazing service. So talking about coming to people's homes, I've probably taken you out of order
had.
You talk about the district nurse service.
Yeah, look, I just wanted to give an update on some of the areas that we're finding we're really busy with at the moment. And one area especially is around our district nursing service. And certainly it's been a busy time over the last few months. But also our district nursing services are finding that we're really, really busy with palliative care as well. There seems to be a lot of need for our services around that. And you know, we link in very closely with the hospice, and in fact our district nurses and our home support team provide the actual services that people get via the hospice. The hospice does a wonderful job providing the counselling and the infrastructure and the referral processes and a beautiful environment around there as well. So between the hospice and ourselves, we provide, and obviously other clinicians on the island as well and service providers, we are part of a bigger picture that provides a pretty big service. But I guess our district nurses are a bit of a mainstay for hospice services, for the nursing, and our home support team also very much into that. A lot of people don't realise that. It's also something else that the service provides.
The district nurse service, I know people may know who are listening that I'm the manager of the Waiheke Island Supported Homes Trust. So you've got a couple of managers here today. Yeah. Watch out, guys. We're in charge. But we're neither of us are like that. And they come, they used to come and do certain things, and they're so busy, and they're so bright, and they come in, and they're really approachable, and they're friendly, but they're really busy people.
Yeah, well, we're fortunate. I mean, right across the island, I think, with the other providers, as well as our friends at Petotahi and also Onaroa, and other services around the island, we've got some wonderful clinicians on the island, some very, very competent nurses and doctors, and really, you know, I've been moved around a little bit over time and had a lot to do with other areas, and I think that we're blessed with the people that are on the island that provide the services, not just from our organisation, but from everything else as well. It's just tremendous.
I mean, I'm stunned. I've got the GP cell phone numbers in my cell phone, only for emergencies, but they gave them to me. They said, I know you need to have this. And I mean, you know, I treasured that because I wouldn't use it unless I really needed to, and I never have, but they gave them to me.
Exactly.
And so we have a great support at the Wish Trust from all of the services at and the OT service.
Absolutely.
We had a great support there for showering,
yes.
And I'm going to get somebody in to talk about showering again, as you know. So it is a good service. Your GP can refer you, and it makes a big difference.
It does make a big difference as well. And speaking of GPs, now's probably a good time to let the folks listening know that we've got a new GP who started at our practice in Ostend. He's just been on board now for 2 weeks. He's permanent, so not a locum doctor. And his name is Sashi Bagra, and Sashi is from Wellington, but previous to that worked in Hawaii and is from Brazil, so he's got some wonderful background and international experience. Has a interest in gerontology as well, so, you know, we're looking at some areas there we can do some things with down the line. So
what is that?
That's really providing specialist primary care services to I guess our patients that are of the older ilk. So
that's an important need, because
absolutely
a lot
right.
of people think that just when you're getting old that's it, and you're getting old and nothing can, you know, it's just part of getting old. But there's a lot of things can be done. There's some bright older people around.
There is, and certainly Sashi's background will hopefully bring some new ideas to the way that we look at things, and hopefully we can translate that into some services down the line. But that's, as I say, all in the future, but certainly lots of potential to improve what we do.
It's nice to have your permanent doctor. There's no reflection on the people that come in fit in. I really admire them because you come in as a locum.
It's very
difficult. I know the doctors don't hold all stuff in their heads that we can't help it.
That's right.
And you do know the people, you know how to communicate. Suddenly you've got a locum, and it's not easy for those locums. I admire them.
We've had a wonderful run with the locum doctors that we've had, and they have provided some absolutely outstanding and continue to provide outstanding service. And often without our locums, we'd be really in dire straits. So they are so critical to our service, have been and probably will remain when we have those gaps.
They are important. I must admit, you've got a male doctor there that my female staff always I'll go with them. So I'm not going to say his name because I found out who he was, but they seem to really like going to see him. So
I'm pleased.
Not saying much, but I think he's going to a conference in Rotorua in a few weeks.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I might know who that might be.
But you know, that's the kind of friendliness that he has.
Exactly.
And the clients really like him.
That's right.
And you know, he even came one year, because every year we have a folks, this isn't really of great interest to you, but it just shows you what they're doing. That we have every examination by the GP every year, whether they need it or not. That's what they have.
Yes.
Last year, I think he came to us to see what the environment was like. I mean, that's hard to get.
Well, it is. It is. And often, too, you know, our rural GPs especially, and we have a rural, we are all, you know, all our GPs on the island are considered rural. You know, there's always an invisible workload for those folks. They're always busy. There's always more going on with them than you actually see when you see them, if you know what I mean. So often it's very hard to get them away from what they're doing. They have very little spare time.
I don't know whether you've ever heard about it, but I was on the island in the days when Nurse Tribe was over here.
Oh, no.
Have you heard of her?
No,
she was a nurse. She used to ride around the island on a horse.
Really?
And she was amazing.
Fantastic.
I mean, so there's been a service, you know, and she just, that's all her life was. She just devoted her whole life.
Wonderful.
To stitching up brawling boaties, delivering babies in the middle of the night, get on a horse out in all weathers. So it's been a real legend of service over here.
And I think that culture is still alive and well, and certainly from what I've observed, you know, the passion and commitment is really there from everyone in the services, whether it be nurses, home support people, occupational therapist, GP, whoever. You know, everyone's there for the same reasons. They just want to actually make things better on
the things make a difference.
Yeah.
So we've got something about
one other thing too I'd like to mention is that it's influenza immunization time, folks. So if you haven't heard from your medical practice, if you want to get in contact with your GP or your medical practice, give them a call. The vaccines are free for anybody over 65 years of age, or anyone under 65 with certain medical conditions, and just check with your GP and practice about that, and also pregnant women as well will get the free vaccination.
And I know we're not clinicians.
We're not.
And we're not pretending we are.
No, we're not.
And we're not giving out medical advice today.
No, we're not.
However, I do have a bit of a chuckle because I've worked for the ADHB with the Auckland Hospital Board, for those that don't know all those abbreviations that we have these days. And the one I get a giggle out, I'm not having the injection because I'll get the flu. I can't give you an absolute assurance, but I can tell you if you ask one of the nurses, they'll give you an answer, which is no, you don't get the flu if you're given an injection. What can happen is that some people have a cold before they go.
Right.
And they associate it.
Right.
And it proves everything. Look, I told you, you know.
Yeah.
But I've had a flu injection a lot, and I've never, ever had anything. And I don't even get the flu. And yet the people that say, I'm going to get the flu if I have an injection, I watch them falling over. So it's a funny one, that one.
It is.
But if I have an injection, I'll get the flu. It's just a funny one, that one.
It is. Yeah. And I think it's sometimes around timing too. But you know, but you got to, I guess, accept that a lot of people don't also, you know, believe in it. So at the end of the day, we've got it there. And those that want to take advantage of it, it's there.
Yes, it's not compulsory.
Absolutely.
Yet.
Absolutely.
And one thing I'd like to talk to you about before you go, Robin. Robin has talked to me about some new fundraising you're doing with the Zed.
Yes, indeed.
The petrol station.
Yes, that's right, we are. And basically it's the Good in the Hood program, and we're there with three other local organisations. So, you know, we're very conscious of the fact that we want to, you know, see the love shared around a bit. But, you know, feel free to fire a few coins in our little boxes as well as the others. And, you know, hopefully at the end of it all, the four organisations can share some of the benefits. And that, of course, anything that comes out of that goes straight back into the community.
Yeah. And so that's out at Onitangi, isn't
it? That's out at Onitangi.
And when you buy the petrol, they give you a little...
That's right.
Coin counter.
They give you a little coin counter.
And you drop it into the one you want.
There's four little plastic boxes there, and you drop in. So we'd be very grateful for any donations.
I think it's been you can see the difference in your fundraising since you changed the thing and had someone who can do it.
Yeah, look,
you can't give it to someone on top of things. It's too hard.
No, and that's the reason we changed it, because it's such a critical role, and you really do need to be able to focus, and focus is so important in that role. And I'd say Robin is doing an absolutely fantastic, outstanding job for us, and has actually been intricate on raising some funds, which we've put to really good use.
Some big money. When she first started in the job, she came, well, it must be a year ago, because She came when the residents were at Rotorua, and they're going to Rotorua next week.
Right.
So it was a year ago, and we sat down, and I explained to her what I did and how I did and suggestions.
That would be right.
And then she was off, and she just went off, took off, but you can't give it to somebody. Yeah. You can't say, look, you've got all this. Will you do some fundraising? Because that's the one that gets dropped off.
That's right.
Because it's hard. But Robin's got the courage. She'll bowl up to people. And the more success you have, and she hasn't been turned down yet.
And the other thing is Robin's got the aptitude, and Robin's always spearheading the community activities, such as the fact that we had a stand at the Onatinga Beach races recently, and Robin and Glenda, one of our support workers, manned that for most of the day. Is involved in all sorts of things all over the island, so she's wonderful.
Right. Yeah. Well, I like this idea of you coming on, so we need to look at it and do it on a sort of regular or semi-regular basis, because it just gets it out there and gets people to know they need to know more things. Okay, well,
I might come along with a couple of favourite songs next time.
Oh, yeah, okay. We've talked about that. Some people come in and they're really apprehensive of the radio, and the other people come in and I think they're going to tear everything off me and get on the air for the next half an hour rocking away.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Okay, Gary, thank you very, very much for coming in.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you some other time.
Wonderful. Thank you, David.
Wakey Radio. Well, we're very lucky this morning. We're utterly privileged. It's a real honour. Have I said enough? Bully, Richard Bull's in the studio, and he's part of Funny Bones, and he's going to talk to us about their show that's coming up. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm damn fine. How did you think things went last night for the fundraiser?
I thought it was very good indeed, actually. Not knowing too much about the story for the film, I thoroughly enjoyed the film. I thought it was very well made indeed. It's very well organised, you know, and very good little buffet to begin with, you know, to greet everyone. And a special sausage roll, I hear, that arrived.
Oh, yes, that was made. Photographs were taken of it. It was just a little idea, because it actually came from your father's birthday.
It did. Yes. Thankfully, not the same sausage roll.
No.
His birthday was a month ago. That wouldn't have been
very...
I
think he consumed that one.
Yes.
Yes, I have some home in the fridge. I think I feel like I might run it around to him today. for people who have just tuned in, that was the fundraiser based around for Waiheke Radio, based around Radio Hauraki, which was very loosely about Radio Hauraki, but... When you see the documentary, you'll see the documentary later this year will be on TV, and you can see where they've moved things around. They moved certain things and put them in different places and made it move a lot faster, because we covered a number of years were covered very quickly. But it was a good movie, I thought.
It was good, and as I say, I thought everyone did very well in it, and there was a good sort of mixture of the serious side and some comedy thrown in there as well, which was...
it was that time. I mean, people look at it and go, oh, it couldn't have been like that. I was around then. It was. It was very, very... The government had complete control, and everything was panelled offices, and it was like that. I mean, I think you had a hit parade... which was the top 10 hits from Childs Wear. That was the sponsor. And it was 10:30 till 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning. That was your lot. Then it got elbowed out for the races. So it really was like that. And it wasn't that long ago. You know, it changed dramatically. But getting back to this, Funny Bones. And that's what are Funny Bones? Who are they?
Funny Bones is just, there are six of us that got together back in, well, just before November, actually, just to put together a radio show, which is something I've been a big fan of for a long, long time, called I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. And it's a radio show in the UK, which has been going for nearly 42 years now. And I thought it'd be quite good fun if we had a go at doing our own version, a Waiheke version. So that's basically what we named ourselves for that production last November.
And so the name has stuck?
It has. So we thought we'd carry on with that, and now we have a new show coming up in 2 weeks' time.
Oh, and a new poster.
Indeed, yes. Hot off the press.
Oh, hot off the press. It looks very... Yeah, I see you've upped it. Looks very, very much... what do they call it when they have community acting? There's a name for the... for the type of acting. Sorry, I don't know. It's like vaudeville or something. It'll come to me. Anyway, but it looks very much like those ones, you know, where they have small groups of the local community and they do plays every year.
Yeah.
It'll come to me. So there we are. Enjoy another night of fun and laughter. So for those who didn't go to the last one, and we'll talk a bit about the last one too, because you're repeating some of that on the air.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I haven't a clue. What is it all about?
Well, essentially, this started in 1972, and at that time, in the 70s in the UK, there was just a plethora of panel show games both on television and radio. So this was more, this was always dubbed the antidote to panel games, and was sort of like a Mickey take of all those panel games. And essentially it's a panel game format, but it's just full of silly games and no one keeps score. And it's just a comedy about wordplay and sort of schoolboy humour. And there's some musical gags in there as well. And it's just great fun. And as I say, it's been going for a number of years, to the point that it got so popular that they stopped recording it in the studio and started recording it in some theatres. In front of thousands of people. And
well, the studio here is getting a little bit cramped, because the funny bones have literally become plural. Because
there's a professional in the studio here.
Yeah, see you, Jimmy, has arrived, and he's going to be in I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, which probably fits.
Yes, his CV ran very well for doing this, so Doug is joining us for this production for I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue too.
So give me some ideas of what the games are, because they do have particular games that are on every week.
Yes, there are sort of like a staple of games that they do tend to do normally every couple of weeks, because what we're doing and what they do as well is they go to a theatre to record two shows. So from the audience perspective, it's two halves of one big show, but that actually translates to being two different episodes, which is what we're doing this time. And yes, there are certain games like One Song to the Tune of Another, which is where a contestant will be singing the lyrics of one song, but will be singing it to the tune of a completely different song.
That I absolutely love, because you've got a fabulous pianist.
We do. The lovely Anne Willman, who is just a stunning pianist. And she had a lot of fun doing it last time with us, and so did we. So we've actually got a musical rehearsal with her tomorrow morning to go over our songs. So
we keep away from artworks tomorrow morning?
Yes, if you want the surprise in 2 weeks' time, you want the surprise.
I was thinking more of the ears.
Well, there's that as well, yes. Headphones will be worn at all times for health and safety reasons.
but I think that one was fabulous, and she played so well, because
exactly,
it's very tricky.
Yeah,
I mean, because you're mixing things up.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a couple of other games where she also does the piano accompaniment. There's Swanee Kazoo, where each team of two, one plays the Swanee whistle.
The one that goes...
That's the one, yes. And the other person plays a kazoo, which is the... chirrupy.
Which I think would be an easier thing to play.
Yes, it is, because essentially you're sort of like just humming into it, whereas the Swanee whistle, you're having to try and judge what you're playing, which obviously doesn't work.
No, that's the whole idea of it.
Exactly that. So so we'll be practicing that tomorrow.
And you've got a very important role of a chairman.
We do.
Because he actually tries to make sense out of chaos. And Jimmy is going to be the chairman.
No, Richard's just pointing at me as if to say, if you're going to sit here, you might as well say something.
So. Oh, well, I was going to say, actually, that if this gentleman here, it's going to be a very quiet evening on the 22nd if he doesn't say something.
Yeah, they'll be saying your turn, and I'll be going, what do you want me to do?
So how did you get involved in these rather sort of repertory? That's what I was trying to think of. The posters looking more like English repertory. Someone must have copied it from somewhere.
So long as it's not English reprobates, we'll be all right.
Reprobates, yeah, that'd be important, yeah.
So you don't want to talk about the chair? You'd rather not talk about... You're skipping past the chair, are you?
No, but can you discuss the chairman?
Are you not sure. Am I able to discuss the chairman?
Sure, he won't mind.
Who's going to be the chairman?
Are there any libel laws? What do we have to be careful about?
I don't know. We probably had a go with him this morning on the breakfast show.
The chair does have to coordinate, you're quite right, and keep us on track. There's only so many minutes we're allowed to be on air, so the chair does have a fairly difficult job keeping us to time, really.
Yeah, and does have some good material as well.
Well, sets the scene, really, for the audience, which is very important, and gives always gives an indication about where we're broadcasting from and a little bit of history and background to the location that we're at, which is very interesting.
Yeah,
very well researched as well,
yeah.
I have to say.
Highly professional.
And it interests me that the chairman's whole role is actually scripted by somebody. Because it's written by a particular script writer.
Well, it's actually a collective this time. Kim Whitaker, who chaired one of the shows last time and I chaired the other, Kim...
I'd forgotten about that one.
Probably, it's probably not that memorable. Kim's going to be doing both shows this time, and he's done a great job putting material together for that, and as has Dougal and everyone, really. So it's been a real good collaborative effort.
I was talking about the English show. They've actually give credit to the writer that writes the chairman's.
Yeah, we don't get the credit or the cash.
Did you get involved with these rather sort of different people? They are a bit strange.
Just before I come to that, can I just mention the writing process? Because I found that really interesting.
Probably never really learned that.
That's right. I missed one of the R's at school. It would be a W. Hang on. Oh, there you go. You see, case in hand. The process, essentially, the bulk of the writing is done by Richard. And then it gets circulated and everybody gets a chance to contribute ideas and thoughts and kind of edit and have a play. And then it goes through about four or five cycles of that. So, I mean, so far it's probably been going for 4 weeks.
Yeah, 4 weeks.
In terms of moving material around to get it to where we feel it's really working well. And then there's a process of picking the real cream of the crop of the ideas and the jokes and the humorous information that we might have. So one of the really interesting things is just the... And it's something curious about writing processes where you have to be prepared to sacrifice or just let go of the thing that you think is absolutely brilliant if there's actually something that's even better. So there's a bit of a park the ego kind of stuff that goes on with it. But it's a fascinating process and it's really great. And everybody has been really good at just chucking stuff in. So as I say, Richard kind of writes the core of it and then sends it out from there. So it's a huge job, but it's fantastic. And I fell into it through the comedy show that Keith Patterson did last year. He did a theatre sports workshop, so I'd gone along to that just for a bit of fun, see what it was all about, and then at the end of the show we did kind of just like an evening for friends. So being Billy No Mates, I was reliant on everybody else bringing people along, so we still ended up, I think, with about... Oh, I don't know what we had at the end of that night. Probably
about 40 or 50 people.
40 or 50 people fronted up for that. So
I will say that's not true. And you did fill it up. But the one you did fill up absolutely was the first of... I'm sorry, I haven't got a clue. Because I can remember someone standing up on the stairway trying to find a seat for one person to sit down because it was just so packed.
Yeah, the last couple of comedy shows that have been put on have sort of got a great audience. And particularly for I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, it's great because obviously we're recording it. And I guess the bigger the audience, the more feedback you're getting from the recording, which is great. And yes, in fact, Keith's last stand-up show in January, it got to the point where I think we had to turn... a few people.
We turned away about 30 people. We had about 120, yeah. I think, which is maximum for artworks there was. Whatever the maximum allowed at the time for artworks, we had that. Mm. And there was at least 30 people who we had to turn away, which was just phenomenal. Mm. Not for them, but in terms of for the interest on the island for comedy.
And because there was some talent there, because that was your first experience at and I'm pointing to see you, Jimmy. This is radio, so I'm pointing so the listeners will know. As that person says on the on Wakey Wakey Waiheke, if you don't want to hear the football results, turn away from your radio.
Right,
I think that's a wonderful thing.
That's
correct. So I'm pointing to you. So you will tell me how. First time stand up.
Yeah, that was my first venture at a professional stand-up, if you like.
It was very funny.
What, that it was my first time?
No.
Oh, see, you're right.
It was very funny that you did it.
Right, I just thought I'd clarify that. Otherwise, I'm not going to bother.
The only thing I think was a bit funny, and we moved away a bit, but that's all right, is that the curtain's right up against the edge of the stage. The lights are in your eyes, and you've got about 2 feet before you fall off into the orchestra pit.
Yeah, you do.
Do you find that a little bit challenging?
Well, it is and it isn't, because as long as you remember to move sideways as opposed to backwards and forwards.
Take a step forward.
Stage diving the audience is probably not the best thing to do during a stand-up gig, stand-up being the operative words. But it's... The spotlight is very, very bright because it's artworks is not very big and it's fairly close to you. It is right in your eye, so you can't really see the audience, which can be a good thing if you're that nervous about being in front of that many people.
That's right, because you just don't see anyone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, so you can just do your thing and just rely on... Yeah. Hearing
it's just the sound of footsteps as people make their way towards the door. That's the only disconcerting part. So you just tell yourself, it's all right, they're just going to the loo, they'll be back in a minute.
Exactly,
so
or if someone coughs and there's an echo, it's not really great. No.
So when I'm engaging you guys and heckling and thinking I'm doing really brilliant, you not even know who I am.
Oh, no, we know who you are. No. That's all right. Yeah,
security has been advised.
They know where to find you, all right. Don't you worry about a thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I was just amazed. I mean, I really did think, and I talked to you, Richard, about this, that, you know, it's an English one. How well was it known? And yet they sure turned up for it.
It's one of those things that I hope is fairly universal in its comedy, because it essentially is being silly, and it's about wordplay, and it's doing silly things with songs and words, and it's where we're able to tailor it to more of a Waiheke theme. Hopefully that's just sort of drawing people in and, you know, getting them onto the same level. But I'm hoping it's not sort of so British that it excludes some people's
sense of humour,
but it's fairly universal. Yeah.
But I did like, because there is a part, for people that haven't been or haven't heard it on air, there has to be a part where someone sort of says, and the answer is Waiheke Radio, because the audience have got to know what the answer is that the people are working to.
Oh, with our laser display board.
And I thought Linda Savage bringing out the display board.
Sorry, we can't have you talk about the laser display board. That's IP property. So
I see.
Just have to, that's something that the audience just have to experience on the evening.
Because you're
quite right. There are a couple of games that take place where the audience need to be in on the answer. But of course, the panelists are unaware of what the answer is. So the audience get the advantage of knowing how close or far away are the panelists from actually getting
the answer. So you've got the rights to this high tech piece.
Well, it's
of
not so
equipment.
Much. I think collectively the rights are held so that it becomes hopefully some sort of a surprise on the evening. Because,
exactly.
Yeah.
But it is such cutting edge technology.
Yeah.
That, you know, we do have to sort of keep it under wraps.
And
slightly.
There's always a slight apprehension about will the technology actually work, because we're now on, I think, is it the fourth release of this particular technology? Probably.
Yeah, I think version four.
So, but one of the great things about the show for an audience is it's great fun. There's always audience engagement in it, and certainly the people who were in the audience last time round just had an absolute ball. And the great thing was, David, they came along ready for some fun. It was the same as the comedy night that had the theatre, sports and the stand-up. Everybody, right from, you know, the doors closing, it was as if they were all there saying, right, we're here to enjoy ourselves, rather than what can happen is where you get an audience to go, right, we're here for you,
make me laugh.
Yeah, but basically they were all there laughing already, and it was just... just phenomenal.
But I think one of the great things were there was whole rows of friends of somebody. You know, there'd be a whole
lot. Yeah, it was lovely.
Richard's parents turned up.
Yeah, it was
lovely. And we blamed them for a lot of things.
There was an empty row for me. Billy Nomates
sort
of a lineup, but that's all right.
You know, and that means when, you know, they came along and laughed because they came along, they wanted to have fun. But you got very serious then. I was just going to ask, with this new technology for letting the audience know, can I get an app for my Windows 8 cell phone?
Well,
is there an app
I'm not sure it's actually Windows 8 compatible yet,
we're probably beyond that. Windows 8's old hat by now, by the time we get our tech guys going. So,
I was trying to be funny, you see, and you guys got serious on me.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem. We're not very funny. It's probably a bit difficult, you know. But honestly, the other people who will be there on the night are hilarious, absolutely hilarious. They make up for Richard and I. Well,
exactly.
They make up for me, Richard.
Make up for you.
If it was just the two of us, I don't think it'd work very well.
I don't know about that.
Although we do... Can we give an insight into the Hamish and Dougal?
We can, why not?
Do you think so?
Yeah.
This is a first time on the island, in fact. Hamish and Dougal will be at the... I'm sorry, I haven't a clue on the 22nd. Now, these are characters that are well known to the British version of I'm Sorry, I Haven't a Clue. So we're just delighted that they're making the trip.
Yeah, they'll be making an appearance.
Did they appear on the radio... New Year's Day?
Yeah, they did, David. Yes, you're quite right. Well, yes, thank you.
I listened to Waiheke Radio.
Absolutely, you were right. You were right. they did. They had their Hogmanay special. Yes,
that's the one.
Yeah. So, so we're delighted with that.
So, there's going to be an appearance.
They will be here.
Are we flying them in, sponsored by Waiheke
Air? We're not really at liberty to say, because they did ask that, you know, they didn't want to be mobbed at the airport when they got here, so we're having to, again, keep it under wraps slightly. But
they didn't want the pensioners' village turning up here to mob them.
Exactly, you know, just getting run over by Zimmer frames.
It's possible we could say that the boat A may be seen back in the Bay of Oniroa, maybe we just leave it at that at the moment.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, well, that's something we can all excitedly look forward to.
Absolutely.
Now, this is, of course, is recorded and it's played on the radio. So if someone says, what's this all about? You've got something for them, haven't you, this Sunday night?
Yes. Where we did the show last November, that was recorded by Waiheke Radio, so we had two episodes from that. And Dougal's show will be repeating one of those tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, and the second show next Sunday at 9 o'clock in the evening.
So as to not confuse people, I've got no idea who this Dougal people talk about. See you, Jimmy. Yes. This Dougal person, I've never met him.
Oh, you'll meet him on the 22nd.
Oh, he'll be there, will he?
He'll be there on the 22nd.
He'll have to be doing something in his kilt with his sporran and his dagger down his sock. I don't know what that's called. It's got a special name.
I don't know. Family show.
Family show. Okay. Yes. I've already said sporran. Yes.
Very good.
Yes. So that's going to be on the See You, Jimmy, because he's the curator.
Curator of the comedy show.
So that'll be on then.
So that'll be on this Sunday night, 9 o'clock, and then the second show that we did December last year at Artworks will be on the 15th, and then, of course, the brand new live show and recordings will be on the 22nd.
And, of course, a man of your absolute talent, you're a busy person, a man of many parts, some of them work, and you on Waiheke Waiheke. Monday morning.
But I've just thought I've got the dates wrong of the broadcasts. Because the 22nd is a show, which is a Saturday.
Right.
So the Sunday can't... Yeah, so...
It's the 9th and the 16th.
I was so busy trying to get my smart lines in, I didn't even listen.
Yeah, there you go.
Because I think the listeners are listening. Why do I? That's just extra stuff. Cool. On my part. So I'm moving on to the next question.
So 9th and 16th is going to be the replays of the shows done in December, and then the 22nd is the real deal. But the tickets are already on sale.
Yes, the poster.
So you've got to get in quick.
Yeah, the posters are going out and about as we speak, so people will see those, and you can pre-book tickets. They're $15 on the door on the night, but if you pre-book them, they are $10 each.
And how do you pre-book them?
You can do that through the theatre. And the phone number for the theatre, which I'm afraid I don't know off the top of my head, but is on the poster.
Oh,
so
excellent.
Keep an eye out for the poster.
And so you have some burly blokes on the door, I gather, this time.
I do believe there is at least one person that you know being on the door with his friend. Yes.
Oh, with his friend.
Yes.
So he has a friend as well.
Apparently so.
Both of them have friends.
Yes.
But it's the other one.
And just for the listeners, that is David. Yes.
And your father.
Indeed.
So we're doing the door.
D&D, David and
Dad.
Yeah,
Dennis.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. So, and Wakey Wakey Waiheke, I think you need to do a live broadcast from the boat, because they miss out on that show. 7 o'clock on a Monday morning. It's a highlight of the week.
It could be good in the ferry, yeah. Oh, okay, let me just say about Wakey Wakey. Weather permitting, this Monday morning, we have the inaugural heats of the Bean and Spoon race down at Brendan's Coffee Cart on the Causeway. So this, hopefully, because we've only got about 4 shows left before Daylight Saving ends and Wakey Wakey goes into hibernation. So Brendan's very kindly offered to do a bean and spoon race, which is basically a coffee bean and a spoon. And there's a track being sorted out down by the league club. So we'll have one heat this week, one heat next week, and then we should have a grand final in 3 weeks' time.
That is,
which is just, it's going to be a huge event because the line dancing has just taken over. Traffic management has become a real issue down there. So
I think we're going to have a diversion there or a detour because it's chaos. I can't get even near the place now.
I've talked to the schools to see if we can delay the start times for the school day on a Monday. But anyway, that's only a few weeks ago. So yeah, Bean and Spoon, weather permitting, and we'll actually go across live for that.
And I'm really pleased about your concern for the community. No jandals because of the scuffing and hurting yourself with the stones. So there's a real safety issue here. It's not. And the person that thought up this bean and spoon race, genius stuff.
It's fantastic.
How could you ever? What size spoons are we?
That's over to Brendan. That's he's in control of that, and so, over the number of beans, whether it's a singular bean or multiple
more beans. He'll be very interested in this.
Yep.
Because
and we'll have to watch out, of course, because the 2008 bean and spoon race. Well, in fact, it was the finals in Brazil, but there was a problem with some spit in the spoon. So there was a little bit of one of the contestants
being rigged.
A little bit of spit in there, so the bean stuck to the spoon. So
surely
it resulted
that was
in
a steward's inquiry.
Well, it was disqualification on that one. Yeah. However, that contestant has made an inquiry about coming down for this race, but we're not sure. Anyway, so we'll have some people, adjudicators there, just checking
and
for that.
And are we going to be testing for drugs? We don't want anyone
We'll just have to see what times come back. So we know roughly what the time should be around the circuit. If it, of course, becomes considerably faster, then we'll definitely
we
do some drug
testing.
Just random drug testing.
Yeah, that's random. Excellent.
But absolutely random.
We'll
just pick anybody, whether they've been in the race or not. We'll just grab
test
somebody.
Everybody.
Yeah, test everybody.
Yeah, you'd be stunned what you could find on the causeway on a Monday morning. Started random testing. Well, thanks, guys. So this is the 22nd of March.
Yes.
5 days after my birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Well done.
Five days after my birthday. And
you've mentioned your birthday twice this morning on the show, at least.
Mm. Yeah. I just let people know. I just throw it out there. It's part of my talent.
I think that's fantastic.
Yes. It's St. Patrick's Day. Yes. I was born on an Irish holiday. I don't think it is a holiday in Ireland, is it? Oh, you're Scottish, you wouldn't know.
No, I don't care.
No. Okay, so that's the 22nd it's sort of 7 o'clock, isn't it? Ish?
Yeah, 6:30 the doors open and the bar opens, and then 7 o'clock we'll start the show.
And what time have the contestants started drinking? That's at 5, I suppose.
The previous day.
The previous day. All right, they're going well. And they can get tickets at the
You can buy them on the door. Yeah, you can buy them on the door, $15, or you can pre-book them through the theatre for $10.
I need to negotiate. So they're $5 more if you buy them on the night.
Correct.
Do the people that sell the tickets get a cut on that $5? Because I think it should be.
I do believe that's still to be negotiated.
Although talk to my manager.
I'm heavily leaning towards no.
All right. Okay, guys. Thank you very, very much.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
Well, right now we've got Pat King in the studio, and she's going to talk to us about hydroponics and also what she's got planned for really pushing hydroponics out on the island. Hi, Pat, how are you?
Morning, David.
Yeah, so there we are. We've
yeah, morning,
Pat.
Mate.
Yeah, that's all right. It's just a little, when you first come on the air, it gets a bit puzzling as to what you're to do. Well, what is hydroponics? Tell us what hydroponics, that's a good place to start, I think.
Okay, well, hydroponics is basically gardening without soil. You just do it in water. You have a little sort of tank where you have your water and your plant food in it, and it pumps up to the end of a bunch of gullies, really, and gravity feeds down, and bingo.
So you don't need soil to grow vegetables?
No, there's no soil at all. Not at all. Right. Only water with plant food in it.
Okay.
So there's no mess, no weeds, which is real cool. And my ones are about a metre high, so there's no bending. The little ones I'm making now could fit into your lounge. There's no mess, there's no nothing. It's all good.
And you don't have to use continual supply of water. You use sort of, you don't have to continually drain your tank to be supplying it. The water doesn't run away. It stays contained in the system.
No, it's a completely rotating business. Uses virtually no water. I've got a little one that I've made. It's on my deck. It's at the moment got 20 plants in it. It's a metre high, a metre long, metre wide, about. And that uses about a cup of water a day, and that's going 24 hours a day.
Yeah, I decided to come round and have a look at that because I wanted to know what I was talking about, and that's very self-contained. It's a very
absolutely
small one.
Totally self-contained. Yeah.
And how many? It's got a lot of plants in it, though.
Yeah, that little one's got 20 plants in, but in all reality, you could put 40 in because you can put two plants in a hole, and it has each. It's made of sort of downpipe gullies, basically, and in the metre-long one, there's five holes in each one, so that's 20 holes, and it does it all by itself. It's a great little water feature.
Mm. Actually, it's got a lovely sound. Mm. It just sounds like the tinkling of a spring some little waterfall.
Babbling brook or something.
So is there any plants you can't grow in?
You can grow anything, but you do it in different type systems. You couldn't grow potatoes in that one, but you can grow potatoes hydroponically. This one I've made a small one, just four indoor ones, so you wouldn't want to have things like grapes that stay there for about 3 months and the roots grow, because the roots do grow really amazingly and clog your system up. So just a different, anything you can grow, but just different.
So the kind of things that I thought when I was looking at it and we talked about it was herbs, lettuces, and the roots, I mean, you showed me plants that that had been in there for a week, and they were big. I was really surprised.
They are twice as big now after another week. You put them in as seedlings, and you're eating lettuces within 3 weeks or around about then.
Gosh, that's amazing.
And something really lends itself is these gourmet vegetables. You get baby cauliflowers and baby cabbages and baby
You could grow all those?
Oh, absolutely, totally.
And the wonderful thing is you don't have to use water to water. Because when you have a garden in the soil, it takes a lot of water.
Yep, sure. Well, those 20 plants that I've got there, on a really hot day, might use a cup of water, the whole thing. Mm. And uses virtually no power. I did a sort of a survey on my power bill to see, and I can't pick up anywhere the power usage because it uses the pump. It's a submersible pump. Mm. And it just uses the same as a light bulb, basically, if that.
Wow, it's amazing.
No mess, no weeds.
No weeds, no weeding. And I like the idea that it was up higher than my waist and it was just easy to do. Yep. And you could adjust the height for people?
I can make them any size, any height, any width that anybody wants.
And the wonderful thing is you could put them on your porch because there's nothing getting dirty, nothing getting wet.
You can put them in your lounge if you want to.
Yeah, you could, literally. Yeah.
And you could put pot plants around the little reservoir and make a complete feature out of it, if you like. It's just,
And so what I liked, of course, people were telling me how much they lost of their garden when we had that, you don't use the D word, when we had that event last year.
The non-event of rain, you mean?
Yeah, the non-event of rain. That's the one. And, I mean, this gets around that completely.
Oh, totally. You know, people unfortunately had to watch a lot of their particularly lettuces that take a lot of water and that sort of just completely die, and it's sad and it's cruel, but this is...
Yeah, if you like lettuces and things like that, this is the classic way.
Oh, totally.
Because lettuces are all water.
Yeah. It's not only lettuces, like, it's everything. Like, I grow flowers in it. I do complete companion planting in it. You can do anything like
marigolds. But you wouldn't have many bugs, would you?
No, very, very few.
Well, you're not going to get snails or...
Oh, oh yeah.
Okay, are they a bit adventurous?
Well... I've got a big 6 meter system down in the garden where I grow sort of. I've got bushes of basil and all sorts.
Yeah, but that's on soil, isn't it?
That's standing on the ground. But one, I think it was last year, I had all of a sudden they were getting munched. I said, slugs and snails. Go out and have a look because I won't use any kind of chemicals or anything like that, or shotgun or anything. Although it passed across my mind. Well, what the little sods were doing, they were getting inside the gullies during the day and coming out at night and having a right royal smorgasbord.
Right. So, but they're not likely to do that if it's on your deck.
No, not at all. But the way that fixed it was get a cucumber and just slice it up. And I just put it on top of the gullies, but you can do this in the ground or anything. Just put it beside your lettuce. The slugs and snails will gallop towards it. Out comes Pat with a night light on her head, picks it up, sticks them in, all in a jar. Got one 70 one night.
Wow.
And just release them in the compost the next day. Have to give them
I actually think it's worth coming to see you just to have a chat. Because when I was thinking about it, I forgot about that big one you showed me. That big, and people could look at that and say, hey, this is a possibility too.
Sure, absolutely.
Because once again, that bigger one doesn't use a whole lot much more water, does it?
No, not at all.
No. And you're very very conservation concerned.
Okay,
so you wouldn't be using these if they used a lot of power or a lot of water. I know that.
Yeah. That's its whole feature, is it virtually uses no power and virtually no water, and it just works, you know. Right. And they're great fun, and people come along, oh, look at that, good Lord, what's happening here, you know.
So these are things that a person of any age could do?
Yep, absolutely. Especially if you are a bit sort of older and creaky like myself, you know, you don't have to bend. There's no lifting. There's no anything like that at all. You just kind of sit back, have a glass of wine and watch it.
Oh, that's
at the appropriate time of day, of course.
Yes. Which is as long as it's got daylight, you're fine.
Well, true.
So what do you need to put in the water?
You can run it on anything that you can feed a plant with. For ages, for about a year, I ran it on what I call wormwiss, which is the liquid that comes out of a worm farm. Worked perfectly. I made a whole lot of liquid seaweed from the seaweed on the beach. Worked perfectly. I've experimented with anything that a plant that you can put as food on your soil, you can put in that. You don't have to use chemicals. You don't have to do anything like that. And, of course, there's no rotation planting, is there?
No.
It's all taken care of.
Yeah. So you need to put a certain amount of this
Of food. And there is a reservoir at the end of it which holds the water. And there's you just add the plant food to that. Yep. No worries.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So, and where do you get that from? Do you get that from...
Anywhere you like. I mean, you could go to placemakers and buy some.
So you'd show the people what they
needed. Absolutely.
Okay.
Total backup service.
Right. Get to the big point
of
if they want to talk to you about this or see it.
Give me a ring.
Or buy one.
Yeah, well, that'd be nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are we looking at?
They're not...
For the small one.
For the small one, unfortunately, it's... They're $500, which majority of that is materials with a bit of, you know, my labour and that sort of stuff. But I can make them any size, shape or anything, which
Could you get much smaller?
You wouldn't really want to.
Mm. It wouldn't be worth it.
No, but you don't have to have all the holes full.
Mm.
I mean, you can have four lettuces, some chives, some spring onions, some watercress, anything, herbs.
But if you look at what could happen to your plants, you've got to be out watering them.
The ones in the ground, you mean?
Yeah. And all those things.
Yeah.
If you get one of those, it soon pays for itself.
Oh, totally. It's a oneser.
And you're getting absolutely perfect results with your plants.
Yep.
Because you haven't got the bugs. I mean, I was really taken by it. I plant in the garden. I'm lucky that there's a boar at my place. But that's the luxury.
Mm.
I'm thinking now, do I want to be bending over weeding all the time? Or do I want to go this way, which to me would just sit on my deck...
Yep.
And I could just pick a few lettuce leaves and because they say you can do all that, but it's hard on Waiheke.
Well, I had a cafe for a while
Which you did, mussel fritters. I used to travel every Saturday to get your mussel fritters.
Which also had hydroponically grown herbs in them.
Oh, right.
And I just had I halved my 6 metre system and put 3 metre system out the back of the cafe. And we just walked out and picked the lettuce or picked the herbs as we wanted them.
And it's like if you go away, you don't have to worry about someone watering your garden.
No, not at all.
However, if they do go away and they've got animals,
then when I'm feeding the animals, I also do their system for them.
Because you have a business looking after cats
and
cats and dogs.
Things like that.
What's that called?
Animals Angels.
That's right.
Meowvelous.
That's right.
Mainly, I don't really do dogs because a lot of other people do dogs. So
you do mainly cats.
Cats and goldfish and guinea pigs. Right. And
so if somebody, guinea pigs.
Aye.
Do you know, I was told by my mother, if you pick a guinea pig up by its eyes fall out.
Tricky, they haven't got tails.
I know.
But like my dog.
That was my mother telling me.
Oh dear.
So if they want to get hold of you for your hydroponics or looking after their cat,
just give me
what number do they ring?
9691.
9691. And you're out on Seaview Road.
I'm in the phone book anyway, if anybody
wants. So if you want to get in touch with you, come around, have a look.
Preferably
check it
give
out.
Me a ring first.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
yeah, because you're out all the time. But I'm just saying ring you.
Yep.
They could have a look.
Very welcome.
And
very,
if
very welcome.
They have a look. It's you start going, I did when I had a look. No, I went, I could use this, I could do, because what am I planting? You know, I don't do, could you do tomatoes?
You can do anything. Preferably in a slightly bigger unit, slightly bigger holes, but whatever they wanted to do,
I
can custom make it to their requirements.
I don't know. See, I look at gardening like tomatoes, I think, are so cheap at times, they're not really such a big deal.
But you also don't know what's happened to them.
No, that's the truth.
You don't know what's on
them. There's no flavour in them.
I know, they taste like flour, don't they?
But the lettuces are handy to pick. Herbs are handy to pick.
Herbs, anything.
And
flowers?
Yeah.
Flowers
and you could put some marigolds in there.
Yeah, I do, because that's companion planting too.
I've learnt that from you.
That's true.
So, okay, thanks, Pat.
I mean,
thanks,
apartments,
thanks
they would be absolutely brilliant for people who live in apartments.
They would be on the deck because they put things in tubs.
Yeah.
There's a lot of soil
going
into the tubs.
And you've got to cut the damn things up there and carry on.
Water, and then you've got to do it.
None of that.
And it dries out really fast.
And also, if you move a dress, you pick it up and take it with you.
Yeah.
It's no problem.
No.
You know? So if anybody's interested, please give me a ring.
And you wouldn't have to pull the plants out either. Yep. You could, if you were careful, you could ship
very careful.
The whole lot.
Very careful.
You know, you could.
Well, I put one in a camper van the other day.
Did you?
Yeah, that worked all right.
In a camper van?
Yep.
That's stunning.
Yeah, absolutely.
And has it stayed there permanently in the camper van?
No,
or do they unpack it?
I think they just took it home. I'm not too sure.
Oh, I
see. Yeah.
But you could have it.
You could have it in a camper van.
Beside your camper van when you go.
You can have it in your boat.
Yeah, you could.
You could have it on your boat.
It's not impossible.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's got possibility everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Only limited by your imagination in anything.
And you've got the imagination.
With no limits, unfortunately.
Well, there we are. That's 9691. Ring Pat King and talk about hydroponics and all sorts of other things. And you're available to do
this.
This is
absolutely
a business you're hoping to kick off.
And a total backup service. Yep. Anybody can phone me anytime if they have any problems. Haven't had any phone calls so far.
And you've sold some?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've
surprised myself there. Yeah.
Well, you know, people. I know it's a bit of a nervous time when you're starting off a business, and you sort of wonder how much I can charge. Mm. But I think the price sort of fits with what it is.
I have an order for somebody who's buying it for a birthday present for a husband. So, I mean, what better gift is that? But that is a real living gift, mate.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah,
the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant, Pat. Okay, well, thanks very much.
Thank you, David.
Thank you very, very much for coming in.
You've been listening to the Interviews from Island Life, a weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua.